Welcome back to our series that we're calling Receive. If you're new here or you haven't been here in a while, we just started a series last week. It's called Receive, and it's about receiving God's amazing gifts. I think most of us wake up every day hoping to be our best selves. I'm sure that you strive to be effective and productive at work, to take care of your family, to support the people around you, and to give back as best you can. All those things are good. God wants us to give. He wants us to support people. He wants us to help others. That's a holy thing to do. But our first task is to receive from God, because God is the greatest and most generous giver of all. The Bible calls him the Father of lights. Every good gift in the world comes from him. He cares for every single creature on this earth. Scripture says about God, you open wide your hand and give, and you open wide your hand, and what's the word up there? And you satisfy the desire of every living thing. That's what God does. His generosity is beyond our understanding. He is good to all. He's compassionate to all his works. Jesus once said, look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap. They gather nothing into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more important than they? The answer is yes, you are. God knows you. He cares for you. He is aware of every good or bad season in your life. He has counted every hair on your head, which for some of us, that's easy for God. And he provides for you every single day. But sometimes we resist receiving those gifts. We resist. We fall into a troubled mindset. We begin to see the world through skeptical eyes. Thoughts will tell you, you know, God doesn't care anymore. He's turned his back on you. He doesn't care about your needs. Or you've asked too much. He's done. He's got to move on to someone else. Doubt begins to creep in. Oh, the medical report came back. It doesn't look good. Maybe God's not going to cure my cancer after all. Or the divorce was finalized. You just got the papers. Oh, well, God, I guess not even you could bring back the love we once had. You lost your job. Where was God? You trained up your children in the ways of faith, but now they're walking down a different way, a darker path. Why, Lord? It's easy to get discouraged, but the scripture says God is able to make every grace abundant for you, so that in all things, always having all you need, you may have abundance for every good work. See, when God is ready to give, when we are ready to receive. So today I want to talk with you about getting ready to receive one of God's greatest gifts, his power, his power. We all face circumstances sometimes that seem overwhelming, right? The problem is too big, the situation is too powerful, the enemy is too strong. We feel limited and unprepared to deal with it. We may see ourselves as weak, ineffective, or powerless against a force that seems unstoppable. This is the way the disciples of Jesus felt after he was crucified. It was like a giant had crushed their dreams. Their hopes of a conquering Messiah had been destroyed. Their confidence in Christ had been shaken. They were fearful and afraid and confused. They saw themselves as powerless or as helpless against the powerful Roman authorities who had put Jesus to death. But then Jesus came in their midst. He came behind locked doors, and he stood there with them and he said, "Peace be with you." And he showed them the scars, the wounds in his hands and his feet. And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and everything that it said. He explained God's plan and his power to raise Jesus even from the dead. And then, as we heard today, Jesus led them out to a place called Bethany, a village about 2 miles away from Jerusalem, where he would ascend back into heaven to be with his Father until he comes again. Knowing that the disciples would probably scatter in fear, Jesus told them to stay in Jerusalem. He wanted them to receive the promise of the Father. So he said to them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It was a promise of power, a pledge of protection. It was a promise of provision, a pact of provision. Jesus wasn't going to let his disciples walk around weak, limited, helpless. He covered them with his sovereignty. He clothed them with his glory, and they ended up changing the world forever. God wants to give you that same kind of power to stand against any problem, to defeat any giant, to overcome and conquer any adversary in your life when you are ready to receive that power. Early on in my ministry as a priest, I would often get discouraged and frustrated. I struggled a lot because every time we started a new program or put on an event, it always felt like an uphill battle. No matter how hard I worked, attendance was weak, minimal, participation was minimal. I walked around a lot of the time feeling like a failure. I blamed myself, you know, if only I had worked harder or if only I were more talented. I began to see myself as ordinary and mediocre. That was not the right way to think. I was operating out of a self-defeating point of view. My negative state of mind was actually not solving the problem, it was causing it. I was ineffective because I was trying to do everything myself. I felt weak because I was relying on my own strength. I knew God was up there somewhere in the heavens, you know. You would always say, you know, God's in control. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I didn't act like it. I wasn't really trusting in his provision. I wasn't really depending on his power. And that's why I was frustrated. Paul says in the second reading today that Christ ascended on high and he took prisoners captive. He gave gifts to men. What does that mean? What's he talking about? Well, in ancient warfare, the conquering hero would capture prisoners of war and parade them through the streets as a show of his power. And he would also receive the spoils of war and then give them as gifts to his own people. What Paul is saying is that Christ is that conquering hero. He is the victorious one who has already taken captive the enemies of sin and death and every enemy that comes against us. He is the one who gives gifts to us, his children, his brothers and sisters. Paul says that grace is given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Our part is simply to receive that gift, to have confidence in the power of that gift, and to stop trying to do everything ourselves and relying on our own abilities and depending only on our own power. This truth was powerfully brought home to me earlier this year when we started planning our spiritual campaign for Lent. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, if you were here, we were trying to get a lot more people into our small groups. And our first goal, our first task, job, was to set a goal. How many people would we hope to get into small groups through this Lenten campaign? Now, I was tempted to go back to that old mindset. Oh, no one's gonna sign up. People aren't gonna be interested. I was tempted to keep my expectations low so that I would not be embarrassed. But this time, my heart told me something different. The Spirit nudged me to believe, to trust, and to step out in faith. So we set an ambitious goal. Looking back on it, I would say, it was more than ambitious. It was impossible. It seemed impossible. We set it really high. I said, God, I'm putting everything on the line. You know, I'm putting everything on the line. I can't do this by myself. My own power, my own abilities, my own will, they're not enough. Only you can do this. And so I choose to trust in you, to believe in your power, and to receive that power right now. As you may know, we not only met that goal, we far exceeded it. When Lent was over, I thought, okay, people are going to drop out in droves because we told them, you know, this is for Lent. It was a bait and switch, sort of. We told them, you know, I thought they were going to drop out in droves, you know, and we let them. We said it's okay. But I chose again to trust in God and to believe him. And you know what? The vast majority of people stayed in. They're still in. And they're enjoying those groups. And things are going great. God made it happen. We just had to receive it. And I got to say, something has changed in this parish since then. I've seen a change. I don't know about you if you can feel it. You know, we measure things every week. We measure attendance. We count you because you're important. We count money because money's important. We count all kinds of things. And we look at that and we see where the trends are. But I have a feeling things are changing. I feel that there is a revival afoot, not just in this parish, but everywhere. I see it. I see the early signs. I think a revival is on its way. You know, America has always had these revivals every 50 years or so. I think it's on its way. It's got to be. I'm seeing the early signs here in our parish. I mean, there are young people coming back to Mass on their own without their parents, with deep faith. We're seeing people respond to things like never before. Volunteer leaders coming forward and taking over significant parts of our parish and helping out in ways that I've never seen before. Our YouTube channel in some parts is getting thousands of hits. And now we're on social media, we're on Instagram, and we just started, and we're on TikTok. We're calling it Priest Talk. Isn't that cute? We're on Loomis or whatever that thing is. Somebody is handling it for us. I'm not on social media. But we're getting lots and lots of hits. Things are changing. And just recently, practically overnight, we received a tremendous amount of support for our new missions program that I believe is going to fundamentally change the face of this parish. Like the apostles, we could not be effective witnesses for Christ on our own. It all started when we chose to believe in God's power, to receive the power of that Spirit, and to trust in it. That's when it all started. Don't give in to weak thoughts like I did. You know, I'm just ordinary, I'm average, I can't do much. If you believe that you're powerless, you will be. Your state of mind determines how open you are, how ready you are to receive God's power and all the many gifts he wants to give you. If you see yourself as limited, vulnerable, unsafe, intimidated, if you tell yourself you're never going to get well, you're never going to get out of debt, you're never going to get ahead at work, you're never going to have grandchildren or whatever it is, if you dwell on your failures, you know, and you resign yourself to feeling empty and alone, If you convince yourself you're never going to find that right partner in life, that's probably the way it's going to turn out for you. I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. I don't really think that works. It's a good thing to do. What I'm saying is that how much power you have depends on how open you are, how ready you are to receive that power from God, how receptive you are to the Holy Spirit. And that sometimes means changing your mindset, the way you think. A while back, I was talking to a few parents. There were moms. It was a group of moms I was talking to. And, you know, as moms love to do, they started discussing their children. And like all parents, they had high hopes for their kids who are now grown up. They're grown adults. And today, they're thriving in many ways. So there was that humble brag going on, you know, as moms are wont to do. But these children also are facing some pretty serious challenges in other ways. And so these women could have taken on a woe is me attitude. You know, why did God do this to my family? Why is this happening to me? Why am I the only parent that has to deal with this problem or that problem or this issue or that issue? They could have taken on an attitude of defeat. They could have surrendered to weak thinking or feel that they were helpless to change the situation or make things better. But instead, one of the moms said to the others, you know, I think God made us the parents of these children because he knew we'd be the ones strong enough to deal with it. These women had deep faith and a great love for God. They stood strong in their belief that nothing they ever faced, no problem they had in their life, was stronger than God's power. They refused to see themselves or their children as victims. That's the right way of thinking. That's the proper perspective if you want to invite more of God's power into your life. It's easy to go around feeling we're weak, limited, insecure, powerless. You know, how am I ever going to get through these problems? I'm never going to see my way out of this storm. I'm never going to beat this cancer. I'm never going to break this addiction. I'm never going to have a child who's happy and healthy. I'm never going to have a spouse who listens to me and loves me, right? And the list can go on and on of these never lies that the enemy will tell you. But listen to what Jesus says in the gospel today. He says that everyone who believes in his name will receive unimaginable power. They will be able to drive out demons, he says, speak new languages, pick up serpents with their hands. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. When you acknowledge that God is more powerful than any problem you face, stronger than any situation you're dealing with, when you stand in agreement that he is the king, he is on the throne, he is robed in majesty and armed with strength, then you can handle any problem that comes your way. You can defeat any giant and overcome any setback that materializes in your life. When you declare, as the Bible says, that God's voice echoes over the chaos of the waters and that his glory thunders through the land, silencing his foes and bringing his enemies to their knees, then you will see miracles in your life. Marvels will happen and you will have power and provision that you could only have imagined. Receive God's power, and it will be yours.